How many have ever heard the word hineni? Now, I see my wife just spoke it right out. Hineni. I'm going to try and describe that word for you today. It's an interesting word. And I hope that the Lord will draw you into greater fellowship with Him. When I, the last week, we've been preaching out of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some of the prophets," and, you know. But He asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And loudmouth Peter speaks up and he says, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you." In other words, people did not reveal that to you. And by the way, this young fellow here that the Lord is able to reveal to him, just as you older folks is able to reveal to him who Jesus is. Amen. He's able to reveal himself from the very young to the very old. I was 7 years old when God called me. Matter of fact, the day that I received Christ, when I was 7 years old, I received Christ, and my father came up and he said, "Well, Ronnie, something happened to you today." And I says, "Yes, I gave my life to Jesus, and He called me into ministry." And my dad says, "That's nice." And it's been a ride ever since. It's been a journey. It's been a process. Flesh and blood did not reveal to Peter who Jesus was. And Jesus basically said, "I'll give you keys." But something's going to transpire that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against you because of the revelation that you received. You see, the church is built on the revelation of who Jesus is. And the church is being built. We sometimes don't like the process that we have to go through when that building program is going on. But the building program's awesome. If I were to show you video clips of what God is doing around the world, it is awesome. Is there a lot of stuff? Is there persecution? Yes! Jesus said, in this world, you'll have all kinds of trouble. In fact, He said, offenses will come. But I'm going to teach you something today that will help you in your journey. It is part of the building program. I was so interested in this word, hineni. When I was in school, and probably when you were in school, there was something that called roll call. Yep. Somebody said your name, and what'd you say? "Here." And I remember those days pretty well. Now, when I was younger, most of them did not call me Ronald. Most of them did not call me Ron. They called me Ronnie. And most of the time, my parents called me, when they called me Ronnie, I was usually in trouble. But the teacher didn't know all of that, and the teacher would say, "Ronnie," especially when I was real young. "Here." The teacher wanted to know that all the students were there, and so it was pretty much like a roll call. But the hineni is not like the modern Hebrew word that just means present or here in the sense of a classroom attendance. This word that I'm bringing today has a greater meaning than just attendance. Can we say it together? Hineni. Hineni. It's a word that actually is something that God loves to hear. He longs for, God longs to hear it, and God longs to say it to us every day. Hineni. It's the joining of two little words, hini and nay, and it basically means, "Here I am." Hineni, here I am. Yeah, oh, Well, you said, well, that sounds pretty much like attendance. Well, it's much greater than that, actually. In some places, hinaini is actually often translated behold. It tells that there is an important announcement at hand. It's not just a mere attendance. Okay? Not just a mere attendance. The Hebrew word I'm looking at actually proclaims, I'm at your service, Lord. Are you at the service of the Lord? Interesting thought, isn't it? Are you at the service of the Lord? In Isaiah 58, verse 6, it says, no, this is not the kind of fasting I want. God was telling the prophet just what kind of fast that he chose. And what he had written before was not the kind of fast. He said, no, this is the kind of fast I want. Free those who are wrongfully in prison. It's not just the food. Free those who are wrongfully imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Verse 7, share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Verse 8, then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will heal quickly. Your goodness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. That's awesome. God's speaking to us. Hinaini. God says, I am here. That's awesome. See, sometimes when we pray, we go, well, you know, I don't know if he's here or not. But God has declared. Did not Jesus say, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age? Hinaini. Yes, I am here. He will come, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. How many need that kind of life? You see, that's awesome. But you need to know that the Lord speaks hinaini. God says, I'm at your service. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, all throughout Scripture, called. And in response to him calling their name, there was a response. They usually responded, hinaini, here I am. So, what I'm seeing, this is not a one-sided announcement. God is telling us, hinaini. And God wants us to say, hinaini. I am here at your service. See, this is a relationship that we're in. The Church of Jesus Christ is built on that relationship with Almighty God. You see, well, I don't know if I have that kind of relationship. Well, you actually do. You just need to know and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And he has done it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. So our task this morning is for us to help us discover what our responsibilities are to our Creator and what his intentions are toward us through this fascinating word. See, the Lord longs for us to respond to him, to be near to him and place him at the center of our lives, because it is his deep desire to have an intimate relationship with us. Remember, I said last week that God had given to the church, has given gifts. And remember, I talked about those gifts as being the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. Did I leave any out? No, I didn't. I got all five. Now, those are important because those are what we would call offices or gifts that God has given to the church. The Bible says for the perfecting of the saints. Now, there are offices, but there are actually people that have giftings as well. And if you read about the gifts of the Spirit, actually the fruit of the Spirit were given to us so that we would be like Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit were given so that we would do what Jesus did. Praise God. Now, to help us with this, an interesting verse in Acts where the Bible says of Jesus was anointed. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he went about what? Doing good. Something so very practical. Can you imagine Jesus doing the very practical to help meet the needs of people? He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He was actually doing, and the fast that Isaiah talked about earlier. Praise the Lord. In the beginning, God our Father in heaven enjoyed intimate fellowship with Adam and Eve. We really don't know how long that fellowship lasted, but it was eventually torn apart because of their disobedience. They were walking, the Bible tells us this, walking in the garden. And if you can imagine Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, walking in, the Bible says, the cool of the day, walking about with God, walking and talking with God. They had, that was sweet communion. My, that would be sweet communion. Walking with God in the cool of the day. You say, well, how did God do that? Bible says God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, we have also a spirit part of us that can communicate. And God desires for that communication process. But when they fell, when they chose, man and his wife one day heard the sound of the Lord. They heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and Eve. Where are you? Where are you? They did not say, Hinani. They did not say, here I am. They were hiding. In fact, Adam says, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. They at that point did not say, here I am at your service. God was searching Adam's heart, longing for him to say, Hinani. Because they had disobeyed God, Adam and Eve were afraid to come out of hiding. And so it is, many of us, when we do something wrong, we're afraid to come out of hiding. We don't really want to talk to God. Isn't it interesting when we do something wrong and we know we've done something wrong? Most do not feel like talking to God. So what do we do? Well, the Bible says in 1 John, it says, if we sin, if we confess our sin. By the way, that Bible verse was never written to unbelievers. It was written to Christians. If we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, he restored that fellowship, you see. And our part is just to confess with a repentant heart. You know, and even with folks that we may have wronged, it's we just need to go and just say, look, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is that I've hurt you over, and I just sense that there's a hurt there, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's all. It takes repentance. Yeah. Our Father is always longing to restore our relationship with Him. Much later in time, Father shows us the future messianic redemptive plan when He calls to Abraham. And He calls Abraham to do the unthinkable. Sacrifice your son, Isaac. It was actually a picture, if you will, that God would sacrifice His own son, Jesus. In Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham! Abraham! God called. Yes, he replies, here I am. Oh, isn't that powerful? God calls out to Abraham, and Abraham, without knowing what God would ask of him, he answers, Hineni. That's awesome. He calls out to Abraham. When Abraham finds out that God wants him to prepare his son Isaac as a sacrifice, Abraham obeys. He places the wood on his son, and they proceed to the place of offering. And Isaac calls out, Father! In Genesis 22, 7, Isaac turned to Abraham and says, Father! And he goes, yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have the fire. Isaac wanted to know, we have the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the offering? And he said, well, God, verse 8 says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And they both walked on together. I find that awesome. And the last time, as Abraham goes to lift the knife and readies himself to slaughter his son, God calls out from heaven again, Abraham, Abraham! Genesis 22, verse 11, at that moment the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham, yes, replied, here I am. Hineni. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. From now, I know that you truly fear God and that you have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Abraham illustrates God's sincere desire as a father in heaven to restore. And Abraham sees that God really desires to restore His son to him. It also illustrates how God makes Himself available to us while longing to hear us say, Hineni. In fact, He says it, and God does it all the time. We need to understand that God not only wants us to be available to Him, He truly longs for us to be available to us. For our Father God is a personal God for each and every one of us. God was with the Israelites as He brought them out of Egypt. God was with them, guiding and protecting him and providing for him and for them. And several hundred years later, as Israel was about to be invaded by Babylon and taken into captivity for 70 years, God again makes His own heart known. God wanted and desired that He would be sought out by His people. But they did not ask to be found by them. They did not seek Him. Though they did not call on Him, Isaiah 61 says, He still said to them, Hineni, Hineni, here I am, here I am. Even though they did not call on Him, God is watching and waiting every day for our return, ready to embrace us and to celebrate our homecoming and our new life with Him, just like the prodigal son that left his father. The father waits for his son every day. After fleeing from his presence, that son, an awful thing, but yeah, he spent all of his inheritance. But it was interesting that when he calls on his father, in Luke chapter 15, 24, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Huh. God, Yeshua, Jesus, in the flesh, was there in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that scripture, by the way, the Lord makes Himself available to us, always waiting for the whosoever will to say, Hineni, here I am. He calls us when we are hiding from Him. He calls us when we leave Him. Huh. Even to those that some are disciplined and some are rebuked, but He so earnestly asks for us to repent. He desires for us to know, I am here. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, He says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Again, this scripture is not written to unbelievers. But in verse 20, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and share a meal together. How? As friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on His throne. You see, God always desires that fellowship with us. John 15, verse 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce. Here it is. Why is this fellowship important? Because we cannot produce by ourselves. You see, remember when Jesus said, I will build my church? He gives him the stuff. He was giving the disciples the stuff that was necessary for them to overcome, for them to actually help in the areas of ministry that needed attending to. By the way, the disciples were found even baptizing people. The Bible says that, Jesus had baptized more disciples than John even. But even though he did not baptize him himself, what did he do? He utilized his disciples that were with him. See, we're not just saved so we can take up a place somewhere. We're saved for a purpose. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit of itself if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Huh. Jesus lived out Hineni, always at the service of his Father, doing his will and with his help. So can we. David said, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verse 8. I have time to share a couple little stories from Acts chapter 9. Verse 8, Saul picked himself up off the ground. He had a big shining light. He picked himself off the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he was blind. His companions led him by the hand to Damascus. Verse 9, he remained there blind for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! What did Ananias say? Yes, here I am! Hineni! The Lord said, Go straight to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarshish named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. What? He's going to show Paul that he's going to suffer. Who signed up for this? Wow. Hey, who said this Christian life was going to be easy? We're very fortunate in this country that we are not persecuted like some are losing their lives. It's happening as we speak. You see? Wow. Wow. Go for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles, verse 15, and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel, 16, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. Saul, what did Ananias do? He had already said, here I am, I'm at your service. So Ananias went and he found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road to Damascus, he has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. He then got up and was baptized. What would have happened if Ananias would not have made himself available for God's service? Interesting. Ananias did not know, just like Abraham, did not know what God was going to ask him. He only said, he, nay, nay, here I am. I don't know what it all entails, but I'm ready. Did he have questions? Yeah, interesting. He still questioned God. What about this? I don't know, God. I mean, this guy, he sounds like a pretty rough guy. You see. He didn't know what was going to happen. But what happened? Saul was being called for a greater service. He had to go and release Paul, not just from the blindness, but to release him so that he would be able to do what God was going to require of Saul at that point. One more portion of scripture. In Isaiah chapter 6, hallelujah, hineni. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it was the year King Uzziah died. And what did it say? He said, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2, attending him were mighty seraphims, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. Verse 3, they were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Verse 4, their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Verse 5, then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a man, a sinful man. I have filthy lips. And listen to this. I live among a people with filthy lips. Interesting. Is that not a picture of where we are every day? Working amongst those that are not saved. Unbelievers. You see? What's interesting about Jesus, he does not condemn people. He did not come into the world to condemn them, but he came to seek and save the lost. He's often found in the marketplace with the publicans and the sinners, the Bible says. Now to John the Baptist, who was actually in prison at the time, John the Baptist goes, well, what's going on? John the Baptist actually, at least three different times, says to his disciples, oh, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He sees him. God revealed to John the Baptist who Jesus was. It was revealed to John. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And yet, while he's in prison, he goes, boys, you better go over and check that guy out. Just ask him if he's the one that's to come. What happened? Personally, when you read the story, I believe that John the Baptist actually looked at the ministry of Jesus and was offended because his ministry was not like John the Baptist. John the Baptist did not come eating and drinking. He did not come fellowshipping with the publicans and the sinners. He was the one that was crying out in the wilderness, prepare, make way for the Lord. Okay. So when the disciples went to Jesus, they say, we're sent on behalf of John. John just wants to know if you're the one. And he said, you go and tell John this, that the blind see, the lame walk. Stuff's going on. But blessed is he that is not offended because of me. John had a very different ministry than Jesus. And sometimes we can look at people and we wonder why it is that the ministry is so different. I'll never forget, I was at a Christian conference and Jack Hayford was there and he was speaking, but before he spoke, Ricky Skegg came and he was singing. And I heard Ricky's name and I knew that he was in the country and Western, and I'm going, oh, baby, what in the world are they doing bringing this guy into a Christian conference? Ricky, he starts to sing, and then all of a sudden, Ricky says, he just stops right in the middle of the song. He says, you're probably wondering why I'm here. And I'm going, yeah. He says, well, he said, I sing some of these songs that are kind of like double meaning. People think I'm singing to my wife, but he says, I've written them. Singing to the Lord. And I went, whoops. Forgive me, Lord. I was wondering where this guy was at. But he says, I love the Lord so much. And he said, I'm in concerts in a pub or in a bar or something, and I'm singing, and God will give me words of knowledge for people. And I'm going, whoops. Whoa. His ministry is not my ministry. But I was so critical, you see. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. And I began to pray for that man who had a very effective ministry, even though it wasn't in my environment. We live amongst people just like Isaiah. He lived among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army. Verse 6, then one of the seraphims flew to me with a burning coal. He has taken from the altar a pair of tongs. Verse 7, he touched my lips with it. And he said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sin are forgiven. Verse 8, then I heard the Lord asking, whom will I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go for us? Then Isaiah says, here am I. Hineni. Here am I. Why is it that the Lord would send someone like this amongst a people of unclean lips? He said, just go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Verse 10, harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes, That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts. Turn to me for their healing. In other words, God wants to open the eyes of those that are around us. He wants to open their ears. In fact, you may have unsaved loved ones and friends. Start asking the Lord, open their eyes so that they can see your love. Open their ears so that they can hear your love. They may not necessarily hear you say something about the Lord, but they will see your actions. They will see you about doing good. And being in that place where you're ready to say, Hine ni, here am I. You see, we live in this world, yes. But that Hebrew word proclaims, I am at your service. Last week we mentioned about the gifts that were given to the church. But did you notice in the word it also says that the church was built up. It was growing as each member was using their gift to build up the body. See, no preacher can do it by himself. You say, well, it's been working. Actually, we need all five ministries, all the flow through of all five ministries, not just the pastor. But you need to hear an apostolic who sets up. You need to hear the prophetic. You need to hear the evangelist because you hear his heart. You need to hear the pastor. But you need to hear glory to God. Are you ready to say, Hine ni? Lord, I don't know what it is, like Abraham. I don't know what you're going to ask of me, but here I am. Or like Ananias, Lord, I don't know what it is that you're going to ask of me, but here I am. I want to play my part. I want to do my part. I want to be an act of service for you. Understanding, Lord, that you're not sending me by myself, for you are saying to me, Hine ni. Here I am. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is forever settled in heaven. And like that picture on the background of the screen, we see a light shining on your word. I ask, Father, that you would take this word and shine it so that we can see what it is you are saying. We will hear what it is you are saying. And you will change our hearts so that we can be healed of all of our fears, of all of our inhibitions. We don't even know how you will use us, but I'm ready to say, here I am, Hine ni. Now, I know my hour is gone, almost gone. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to manipulate you. Just as a confirming word, sometimes you just need to take a step of faith for yourself to say, Hine ni, I don't know what you're going to ask of me. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet. Here I am. I'm making myself available to you. Thank you, Jesus. And I get it, because you don't stand, This is a relationship thing between you and God, and I totally get that. But maybe it's just something you need to do for yourself in your relationship. Here I am. Father, you see all of our hearts. You measure our steps. You see all about us. Yeah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, darkness bright, who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I,
as we go. You have told us in your word that you wanted us to go as salt and as light into this world.
And we may not know all the ins and outs of that, but Lord, we are willing. Here we are. We ask that you would bless them in their going out and in their sitting down, in their rising up and in their sitting down. We ask, Lord, that you will speak to them. I ask that the very light of your countenance would bring them into peace that surpasses all understanding. That those around them will see your peace. They'll desire your peace. Be partakers of that peace. In Jesus' name, we bless your people. Amen. The Lord bless you.